I'm going to ask you to turn with me, please, to the book of the Psalms. Psalm number 23. This is the experience of a man who did receive Christ. We must always remember when the message called the gospel is being presented, it's really a confrontation with the person of the Lord Jesus. Not only about his person, but that living person. And you and I, friend, tonight, whether it be these dear young folk who are here in the front tonight, I want you to listen, because you're going to meet the Lord Jesus one day. Face to face, just you and him. And those who are older here tonight, who have spent the most of your life now, as I have, we're going to meet the Lord Jesus face to face. The big question, of course, that's in the balance is, will you meet him as your Savior or as your judge? And when I read the 23rd Psalm, I see a man who has faced those questions in his life. He's not a young man anymore, dear David, as he writes this psalm. He's an older gentleman, and he is speaking of his experiences because, as he says in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. He speaks about his life. He speaks about death. And he speaks about the forever. He's looking at realities that the person of the Lord Jesus affects: his life, his death, and his eternity. But I want to notice with you as we read this psalm how David is going to speak about a relationship with the shepherd. 13 times he's going to talk about he and me. He and me. That's the big question, friend, tonight. It's not the question about me and what I am doing. It's not a question so much about the greatness of God. Mind you, that is a question, but that's not the question that's vital here with David tonight. And what is he doing? The question is a relationship of he and me. That's the big thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd. So as we read this little psalm in the closing of the meeting, I want you to notice how many things he speaks about, he says, that are mine. And they're in a relationship with him, with the Lord Jesus. My things and him. Notice as we read the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I'm sure that probably everyone that's in this audience tonight has a time in their experience when they memorize this little psalm. And we hear it read so often at funerals. And that's very fitting, because really, the main emphasis in this little psalm, the hinge that's giving value to the first part and the last part, life and eternity, the hinge is, thank God he's with me in death. Because what there has been in life in a relationship with the shepherd is what determines what will be in the forever in relationship with that shepherd. And it all hinges upon that moment when I leave life and enter into eternity, is the Lord Jesus my shepherd? So that is the big question tonight, and I hope that that you will recognize in this psalm how dear David is dealing with these vitals and the gospel of the grace of God that is given to you and to me, friend. Thank God I look back to a Sunday night in my experience when I found it was for me. And day by day I thank God that He loved me and gave His beloved Son to go to the cross of Calvary to make payment on my behalf, on behalf of the whole world. And I saw I could get in on it because as a guilty sinner, Christ died for the ungodly. And there I found that I can now rest with the blessed assurance, yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that separation from life, launched into eternity, I can truthfully say, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Friend, it's a real thing to have Christ as your personal Savior. Now, I want to start at the end of the psalm and work back with you tonight. And notice the things that David is going to mention that is a relationship between him, what he has, and Christ, the shepherd. Because really, friend, that's the hinge. Let me emphasize it again tonight. The question was asked by Pilate. He really didn't enter into what he was going to say. And really, he was questioning with a wonderment in him. And he made the wrong choice about the question he asked. But the question being, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And friend, that's the balance of this whole little psalm. It's the balance of your eternity and my eternity. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? The atoning work necessary that we might have a right standing with God, He has accomplished. Not something He's going to do when you do the right thing. It's what He has already done. There at the cross of Calvary, He cried, "It is finished." And on the basis of that finished work, the arms of the eternal God of heaven in wondrous grace is outstretched to a world. Young people, older people, everywhere in our world. And the invitation of His grace is, come, come now, as we've been hearing. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Marvelous invitation for a work that will be absolutely complete, never to be reversed. And the sinner who believes is free can say, that Savior died for me. That's the great truth of our little psalm tonight. And I want you to notice it with me in this way. Beginning in the last verse of the chapter, you'll notice what he mentions when he thinks of eternity. He thinks of the forever. And he immediately goes back and he says, my life. My life. My life. You see, friend, it's in the time of life that one must get right with the shepherd. There can be no dwelling in the house of the Lord forever without having a time in my life when I have come to know Him as my Savior. Now, friend, it's a very precious thing that you and I are alive tonight. I say it is precious because it's God who chose to let you live the day you were born, and me also. I've said it many times, but I say it purposely, hoping it will get the attention of some who have never thought of it. The day I was born, two other babies were born, and they were both stillborn. Why did the God of heaven choose to let me live? I don't want to miss that reason. If I've missed the reason and the purpose of the eternal God to give to me life, my life is empty. I've missed the purpose for which I'm alive. What about you, friend? Have you ever pondered it tonight? Like dear David is saying in this psalm, my life, the moment of precious opportunity to hear the message of the grace of God for guilty sinners that are traveling to eternity with no hope in themselves and no hope of ever being able to change the eternity that lies before them. Yes, my life, your life tonight, dear friend, is the golden moment of opportunity. Now, you and I do not know when that life will end. In fact, that's what David's saying in this little psalm. He says, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You can see the picture. He's acting as if he is a sheep, and he's following his shepherd. But he sees the shadow of the mountain lion. It could spring upon that little lonely sheep, and he had no defense. There's no possibility of an escape. His only Savior is the shepherd. And friend, if you don't have the shepherd, you will perish in your sin. Your life will have missed the reason that you're even given life and are alive, to get to know Christ as your personal shepherd. My life. Notice how he links it in that last verse. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The goodness of God that has followed you, friend, and followed me. I have never deserved the goodness of God. I wasn't born with a nature that loved Him. I wanted my own way. That's why you do what you want, and you do it without thinking of what will be the price of this for eternity. What will it cost me to do my own will? But God in goodness follows you. You who are children here tonight, the goodness of God has given you a home where God's Word is open to you so freely. It's a golden moment in life for you to listen to the Word of God, the goodness and the mercy of God that follows you. Your Father prays for you. And if you're anything like I was, sad as I look back and remember, I knew my dear dad would mention my name in prayer every time after supper we got down on our knees to pray. I knew what was coming. He would pray, thank God for keeping him safely in the day. He would thank God for the food we had upon our table and the health we enjoyed. And then he would say, oh God, remember Jimmy, he's in his sins and he's not saved. Ooh, those words pierced through my being. I almost hated to hear them, for I knew they were true. Jimmy has no Savior. He is in his sins. Oh, the goodness of God to have a praying Father, to have a praying mother. And some of you who are older, was it not, grandmother, that first mentioned to you, you must be born again. And now your life, the most of your life is past, and you've missed the reason that you're alive. Oh, the goodness of God that's following you. My friend, tonight, get down to business with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only hope for your soul, the only one that can bring to you in this golden moment of life the blessed peace and the expressions of rest and security and hope that dear David mentions as a saved sinner in this psalm. But move up the chapter with me and notice, if you will, in the previous verse, he mentions, my cup runneth over. My cup. You see, the cup that David is speaking of as a shepherd is the little cup of blessing, of appetite and blessing and minerals and vitamins that the shepherd would have for the little sheep, because the shepherd can read the face of the sheep and knows exactly what it needs on its way home in this little life. But it's a very interesting thing in your Bible to notice how God speaks of every person having a cup. A cup that you're going to drink. And this is the way God puts it in His Word. He speaks about a woman in the Bible, and He says, she hath filled her cup with her sins. And then he adds these words in the prophecy of Isaiah. And I have filled his cup with my wrath. And friend, in this meeting tonight, whether it be these dear younger ones or older ones, you're each filling your cup every day. And you're going to drink it if you don't get saved. In the book of the Revelation, we read about God giving that cup to a sinful person to have to drink it. But I am very, very grateful when I read in the Holy Scriptures of the Lord Jesus, when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and after he had left that place where he wrestled upon the ground in an agony, he was looking into the cup that I had filled with sin and God had filled with his wrath against me and against my sin. But you know, I'm thankful for what he said. He said, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? You know, friend, that's why I love him tonight. That's why I love the Lord Jesus. He drank the cup of my bitterness and sin at Calvary. He stood in my guilty place and became answerable for every bitter drop in that cup. But your cup, you've never turned to him who drank the bitterness of the gall of divine judgment and wrath, being accountable for human sin. You're filling that cup, friend. Oh, what an awful day when it will be placed into your hand, you without a Savior, and you'll have to drink that cup. The man of Luke 16, this is what he cried when he's drinking that cup of bitterness in the awful realities of the fires of judgment in that place called hell. He said, I am tormented in this flame. Send Lazarus with a drop of water upon the tip of his finger to cool my parched tongue, my cup. Friend, you have a cup of responsibility because of your own sin, and you'll have to drink it unless you get to know the sinner's Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I hope tonight when you go to your bed, if you have not received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I hope you'll take a good look into that cup, friend. You've got to face it sooner or later. You'd be wise to face it tonight as a sinner. Oh God, I have filled the cup. My sin, oh how awful the thought, my sin. To be able to drink that cup for all eternity with no relief and no salvation and no verse of Scripture to grasp a hold of and try to find peace with God, only to drink the cup that you are filling with sin and the wrath of God. Notice the next thing he mentions in this passage as he solemnly and seriously considers going through the valley of the shadow of death. And he speaks about his head too. He says, thou hast anointed my head. You see, the picture of the head is, of course, of the thoughts. Your thoughts and God's thoughts. You know, it's an interesting thing that when we come to the Word of God, that's where the conflict comes in. I think, and God says. But you know, friend, the merciful thing is that God's Word never changes. You can trust it. You can see in it the truth of God, and you can trust that truth. But our thoughts change. We change with the transition in life. We change culturally. We change by education. We change by experience. You see, friend, you can't trust your own thinking when it comes to things which are eternal. You don't know what lies beyond death unless you believe your Bible. You don't know what God will demand of you as a sinner unless you believe your Bible. See, we can't think our way through things. God says, let the sinner forsake his thoughts and let him turn unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What a blessed promise that's offered to men. Friend, we need our thoughts regulated by the Word of God about ourselves. We need our thoughts regulated from the Word of God about God and His claims. And we need our thoughts regulated as to how to get saved. And the only way we can have them regulated is go to the Word of God. Are you wanting to know the assurance of salvation? Then take your Bible and read John 3. It's in there, friend. Several times, it's right in that chapter that you could receive the assurance of God's great salvation from the judgment that your sins deserve. Yes, my head, he says, thou hast anointed my head. You've changed my mind. Thank God for his word that changes our mind and gives us the truth. Notice as well in this passage, as we come to verse 3, he speaks about my soul. My soul. I love that little statement. He restoreth my soul. That's such a beautiful picture. My soul. My dear friend, tonight, this chapter is teaching me, as well as the New Testament teaches me, that I am responsible for my own soul. And you young men and young ladies, you're responsible to God for your own soul. God graciously has followed you with goodness and mercy. He has kindly given to you an open Bible. And you have not turned to it for the answer. You're wrestling with your own thoughts and hoping somehow you can break through. Or you're waiting for something from God to happen to you instead of going to the Word. That's where you find the assurance. That's where you'll meet the Savior. That's where you will come to grips with the person of the Lord Jesus. And that's what we have in this passage. My soul and Him. He restoreth my soul. Ah, friend, that's the great truth of the gospel. He saves the sinner's soul. The person of the Lord Jesus, He has already accomplished the work. He's waiting to receive the sinner who will turn to Him, giving up hope in themselves, giving up the trying with which they've struggled for so long, as they're slipping down the broad road with no hope and nothing to stop them. Turn to Christ. He saves my soul. That's the wonder of the promise of the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever is there one slipping down the road tonight and you have nothing to hang on to, friend, nothing to keep you out of the pit should you slip over the boundary tonight, God says, whosoever believeth in Him turns to Christ. He says, he shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a divine promise, and it works. Thank God he is able to save souls. But notice how he ends, as we end and close the meeting tonight in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. What a beautiful word to be able to go to bed with tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. Ah, friend. I thank God many a night when I lay my head on the pillow and the lights put out. I love just to lay there and think about my shepherd. He's altogether marvelous that he chose to love me. And I'd like to tell you, friend, he chose to love you. I have his word for it. That's why I'm here to tell you tonight. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm bringing to you the very Savior that I have myself. He's my shepherd. Is he your shepherd tonight? You see, the shepherd in this chapter, he's the guide of his life. He's the preservation of his soul in death. And he opens the gates to the forever for him to dwell in the house of the Lord. My shepherd. Oh, how precious to be able to claim Him personally as my shepherd. Let me say to you, friend, as I close the meeting tonight, this is the language of a man who had to acknowledge in his sin that he deserved the judgment of God forever. But he says, God is gracious. Dear David says that three times in the Psalms. God is gracious. And friend, God in heaven has been gracious towards you. He's bringing you something you couldn't buy. He's offering you something which is eternal and will never change. And He's offering it to you tonight to be your eternal salvation. What is He offering? Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. Friend, that's what you have to get down to business with. Get down on your knees, alone in your bedroom, with an open Bible. You're not looking for some secret passage. You're not looking for something to come down your back. You're looking for the Lord Jesus. And how can I get to know Christ, the Lord Jesus, as my Savior? You must receive Him, and Him alone, because He has accomplished the work. And God the Father is offering Him to you tonight. And that's why He is saying, whoever believes in Him, that simply means whoever receives Him, receiving the Lord Jesus, who has accomplished salvation's work. God says He'll never perish, but have everlasting life. And you'll be able to say with David, when you go to your bed tonight, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a great salvation. What a wondrous Savior. What a moment of opportunity. Your life. Don't miss Him, friend, and forfeit the very reason that you are alive. Let us pray. Our blessed God in heaven, from our hearts,